Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mark Grody on 670 The Score, a Radio.com sports station.
Hey, I'm here with you until 3 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Text coming in, 312-644-6767. You can call us that way as well. Coming up in 1 hour, full blast Bears talk with Arthur Arkish of Shaw Media's Bears Insider. He is the editor there, so we'll talk all things Bears with him. Right now, let's get into the Cubs as we bring in the new Sun-Times Cubs beat reporter. He is Russell Dorsey, and you can find him on Twitter at Russ_Dorsey1, D-O-R-S-E, and the number one. Russ, congrats, man. What's going on?
Mark, thanks, man. I appreciate it. It's been a busy couple of days. It's been a busy couple of days, but a good couple of days. I'm excited. I'm excited that people are excited about me. I think that's been the cool part about the last couple of days, just seeing how the city has embraced me in this new role and are excited to see what I can do with it. So, man, things are good. Things are good.
What a blast. It's like when these things happen, I imagine you just got in this era where anybody can get a hold of you in any way, shape, or form on whatever their favorite form of social media is, where we all text each other. Your phone must have been blowing up over the last couple of days, or especially when the news kind of hit and then we all find out at once.
Yeah, I was telling Sean at one point on Thursday, I had like 300 notifications. but it was good. And you see your name in a Robert Feeder column, and usually it's like not a great thing.
That means right.
You've been removed from something, but it was nice to see like, hey, the Sun-Times adding this dude, Russ Dorsey, who's from the city, and he's been doing these things, and people are really excited about him.
Here's the problem. Now you have 300 people congratulating you. Do you take the time then to acknowledge all 300 of those people who went out of their way, Russ, to congratulate you?
Dude, that has been my weekend. That has been my weekend, liking everything. Sending on Facebook, putting the little heart by every comment. At one point, my fifth grade teacher sent me this long paragraph that had me on the verge of tears, and it's like I can't just leave that there. But I've been trying, man. I've been calling people back, trying to text people back, let people know that I appreciate the time that they took to congratulate me on this thing. But it's so much. But I appreciate all the love and appreciation from everybody. I really do.
What you hope, though, and I don't know, maybe this is poor etiquette on my part. What you hope is, like, once you respond to them, like, you're like, thank you very much, that means a lot, that they don't then again respond to you, like, saying, oh, yeah, no, really, that's great. So what's up? What else is new? No. I can only do one response. I can't do two.
Well, the double back might have to be a week from today.
Yes.
But yeah, that would be a more efficient conversation, just one and done.
Yes, one and done. Everybody needs to have that in their etiquette pile. All right, man, you're on the job now. Let's start to get serious. I know that in earnest, you may have not been out at Wrigley Field yet this weekend, but I know you've been around the Zoom calls and you are up on everything that is going on with the Cubs and this 60-game season. I guess I'll start you with it is with the 60-game season for this Cubs roster. What do you think the most important part is on this Cubs roster in order for it to thrive this year under these circumstances?
I would say the bullpen, right? It was the biggest question mark probably going into what we thought was going to be a 162-game season, but now a 60-game season where guys aren't going to be, you know, going 6 and 7 and 8 innings right away, you're going to need some time to build that up. So if that means tandem starts, if that means you're going to have an opener and a bulk guy in that middle to back end of the game, you're going to have to do that. And so for guys like Rowan Wick and Brad Wick, who did really good job for the Cubs last year, those guys are going to have to duplicate that performance. Then you have Jeremy Jeffress, who has bounced around a little bit, but is just 2 years removed from being one of the better relievers in the National Leagues with the Milwaukee Brewers. So there's going to be – oh, and also Craig Kimbrel. He came in last year. He was the big free agent that the Cubs acquired in the middle of the season, and things did not go his way or the Cubs' way. So there are going to be some question marks here for the Cubs to answer here early in the season. If they can do that, then they'll have a little bit more time to worry about, all right, who's going to be that fifth starter? Who's going to eat the innings that we missed from Quintana slicing his thumb open? So those are going to be the things right away that stand out to me.
Yeah, and I guess I go into it where you have to prepare. I don't know how to talk about this mentally. Like, you have to almost maybe just assume that Craig Kimbrel will not be great just based on what we saw last year. And I get it. There were some reasons for it because he comes in cold and was expected to then go into the ninth inning and help the Cubs, and he simply did not. Who do you think would be first man up, though, to replace Kimbrel? Is it Wick or is it Jeffress, or do you have a different candidate?
I think it would have to be either Wick, one of the Wicks, the Wick brothers, yes, or Jeremy Jeffress would get that first crack at it. But looking at the bullpen as it's currently assembled, like, you really need Craig Kimbrel to pitch at least to an average level, if not a tick above average, for this thing to work. Like, you're not going to be able to use him in low leverage situations to try to get him back on track in a 60-game season, you know, because that could take 2 to 3 weeks, and that's a 25%, 35% of your season, 2 to 3 weeks. So you're really going to need everybody to play in their slot, in their role that you wanted them to when this thing started, when spring training started. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he comes out and how the Cubs use him, you know, in a 60 game. Like, most relievers have 60, 65 appearances in a season. Now that you're in a 60-game season, you might have a little bit more bullets in the arm if you're a high leverage reliever like that.
It's funny. And that's going to be a lot of it's going to be up to David Ross, and I know that he's going to have help from Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, as a lot of managers around baseball will. There's always been this debate, especially in baseball, about how much the manager of a ball club actually means. I think this year, this is going to be the most important year for every single manager in baseball. Managers mean a lot this year. How do you think David Ross will handle it?
It's going to be a challenge. I think it was going to be a challenge regardless of if it was 60 or 162. You know, as a first-time manager, there's just some things that you're not going to know off the bat. And you're going to have to adjust. That's why you bring in an experienced bench coach like Andy Green, right, who was the manager of San Diego Padres for a while. And he's going to have to, that first 2 weeks or so, getting used to this new game with some different rules involved, I think it makes it a little easier for him. I think the universal DH helps him out a lot because you won't have to worry about double switches and different strategy late in game. So you could do a lot of that planning before. And I think that'll give him a little bit of an advantage. But yeah, there'll be some challenges, but I think as we've heard from him, you know, he's up for the task, he's up for the challenge. I think when it comes to motivating and getting through to guys, I think that's something that he's been able to do right away. So now it's seeing how that translates to the on-field product.
Yeah, no doubt. And you mentioned that's a great point you made too about designated hitter, that he's not that he would not be able to handle that because he understands National League baseball, obviously, but that he doesn't have to worry about those types of decisions and that he will have the luxury of an extra hitter in the lineup. And I don't know how you feel. And I know that there are many different scenarios for the Cubs as far as a designated hitter is concerned, but in a 60-game season where you don't you're going to have to rest guys, of course, but it's not as pertinent for later in the season. I don't overcomplicate it. It is Schwarber. It is a lot of Schwarber as a designated hitter. Do you agree with that, or do you think it's going to be more of how David Ross feels on a day-to-day basis?
I do think it'll be a little bit more about how David Ross feels on a day-to-day basis. I think, you know, as he talked about Schwarber, they've had that conversation, and he'll be the guy that gets the nod most of the time. And I think that's cool. Like, that's to Kyle's advantage. Like, that's a bat you want in the lineup at all times. And I think for National League teams, you're going to have that extra bat in the lineup that you haven't had for, you know, ever. And now you're going to get a little bit of an advantage there. But at the same time, to Kyle's credit, and to Kyle's defense, you know, he put a lot of work in to make himself a average to tick above average outfielder, you know. And for somebody who was a catcher and had to transform his body to do that, I give him a lot of credit for that. I give him a lot of credit for that because it's not easy for guys to change their body from what got them to this point in their career. But I also think you bring in a guy like Steven Souza Jr. who you can play matchups with, and if you want to have Souza in there against left-handers, if you want to have Victor Caratini, who swung the bat well the last couple of years, to get some at-bats, if you want Bryant to get a day off but you want to keep the batting lineup, same for Javi, same for Rizzo. Those guys have had some injuries along the way over the last couple of years, so that's a way to keep the batting lineup and get them off their feet. So I think the DH, universal DH, is a really great thing for the Cubs. And who's to say this is not something that sticks around past this year? You know, if that's something that can be collectively bargained in the next couple of years, you know, I think that benefits the Cubs a tremendous amount.
Can you imagine Joe Maddon with that luxury with the Cubs, with all the things that he'd like to tinker with? If he had had the luxury of the DH, we would have seen some fun things probably on Joe Maddon.
A ton of tinkering. Joe was the tinker king.
Yes, he was. Oh, yeah. So it'll be fun to even watch him in the American League. Ian Happ was a guy who, because we got to go back to the first part of spring training, which was well in progress when everything came to a halt. And Ian Happ may have been one of the Cubs' best hitters in spring training. Al Mora was actually crushing the baseball as well. Who do you see, if either, maybe it'll be split, who do you see getting the bulk of the playing time out of those two outfielders in center field, Happ or Elmora?
I think Happ gets the first shake, but you'll be able to play matchups. DH also helps in that situation as well. So if you want to let Ian Happ DH against, you know, a right-hander, you could definitely do that. And even if you wanted to put Souza in center field, you could do that too. But Albert Almora Jr. did show that he made some changes to his swing over the winter, and those things showed off in spring training. So I think over the last couple of years, what Cubs fans have wanted is, all right, we want one of the guys to take the reins, right? And then this spring, both of them said, no, I want the job. So it's a good problem to have. Of course, as we play games here and as we see how the results shake out, you're going to have to figure out, all right, who's going to be the guy. And I think it'll handle itself. But the Cubs do have options when it comes to center field where you don't have to necessarily name a guy. You can let the results determine who you put out there on a day-to-day basis.
That's very true. I mean, that's a good way to go about it. Talking to Sun-Times Cubs reporter Russell Dorsey, the fresh Cubs Sun-Times reporter. And, Russ, one of the guys that I haven't heard much about it. I have barely talked about him, is Wilson Contreras, the Cubs catcher who has had high expectations placed on him, like MVP level expectations, has been derailed towards the ends of season by injuries. How do you think somebody like Wilson Contreras, who is always at 100% in terms of effort, we know the Wilson Contreras ways, how do you think he will be in a 60-game season?
I think a 60-game season is perfect for a guy like Wilson Contreras, a guy that's so high energy, so enthusiastic, so energetic on a day-to-day basis. And as a catcher, you know, those guys wear down. So over the course of a 60-game season, you don't have to worry about him wearing out in August and September. Like, he can be high energy, 110% all the way through the season and not even feel those effects this year. I think he should thrive. I think offensively, we're going to see over this sprint of a season, the Wilson Contreras that people do say, you know, this guy could be an MVP candidate if he has everything put together. So I'm excited to see what he can do in this season where he can be fresh more times than not.
Last couple questions for you, Russ. Starting pitching-wise, we did kind of touch on Jose Quintana right at the beginning of this interview. Who is the guy that steps in for Quintana, do you think?
Well, I think Alec Mills and Tyler Chatwood are going to be the guys that have to take that step up. Edward Alzolay is a guy who the Cubs have expected big things out of for a little while here. So this year he's going to have to really take the reins and eat some really important innings and be a guy that they can count on this season. Like, those are the three guys that I think have the biggest responsibility in you know, helping out with Jose Quintana's shelves. Who knows for how long? I know they said they're going to reevaluate in 2 weeks, but for nerve damage where you have to have surgery for it, it'd be hard for me to imagine that you have him back before the halfway point, if you got him back the season at all, you know? So those guys are really going to have to, you know, show up for the Cubs. And then at the top, I think Yu Darvish, while he doesn't have to take over for Jose Quintana, I think that's the guy who takes that next step. We saw last year in that second half where he was lights out and he showed, you know, he was the pitcher that the Cubs thought he was going to be when they signed him, right? So to take that next step for him and be the ace of this staff, that's gonna take a lot of pressure off John Lester. It's going to take a lot of pressure off Kyle Hendricks. And by doing that, you take pressure off the bottom half of your rotation and thus, you know, helping that Quintana situation. So I think there's some things that are going to have to happen. You're going to have to pitch well. Guys are going to have to stay healthy because the Cubs didn't have a ton of starting pitching depth before, at least not at the big league level. Organizational depth, yes, but not at where guys you thought you're going to have, you know, major innings out of. So you can't afford to have a lot of injuries, which is tough to say in a season that we've never seen before. But that's going to be something that's going to be really big for them this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And yeah, I agree. I mean, Darvish and Hendricks, it's like they have to be good because you're right. I mean, maybe John Lester will be really good. Who knows? But you certainly cannot. He's not the metronome as he once was, where you knew exactly what you were getting. So if the Cubs are going to win, Darvish and Hendricks have to be really good at the very least. Last question, though, is Ed Howard, the Cubs' number one pick this year, 16th overall, the shortstop. Where is Ed Howard? Is he on the taxi squad, or what is he doing? Do you know?
As of right now, he's not in the player pool, so they left him off. But they could at some point add him because they're not at the 60-player capacity. So that's something that we could watch here as the weeks go by. It'll be interesting. I've looked at a lot of those different, you know, player pools over the last couple of weeks and seeing where some of these top prospects, some of these kids that just got drafted are, you know, some of these guys are on there, some are not, but I think a lot of teams, like the Cubs, have left themselves flexibility by not fully, you know, adding to that roster. So then if they want to bring in a kid that they just drafted or one of their top prospects to get a lot of work in with either big league guys or guys who are in the upper minor leagues, they can do that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, and I'm not thinking he's going to play. I mean, the guy is what, 17, 18 years old. He's a high school kid. So who didn't play his senior year? So I'm not expecting to play. I just wondered where he was. But Russ, this is awesome, man. Again, congratulations and get back to and make sure you're very sincere in your, you know, you can't just be hitting the heart button, man. You can't just be clicking the like. You got to give a couple sentences. It's got to be personalized. You know, if you need some help from somebody, maybe you need to employ somebody, but just make sure those responses are, because, you know, you only get one shot at this, man. Okay,
Mark, you saying I need to hire a social media manager to take care of some of these things?
Oh, they should have been in your contract with the Sun-Times. They should have given that to you, man. Come on.
We'll see what's in the piggy bank and see if I can pay some 18-year-old to be my social media manager. We'll figure that out.
Russ, I'll be talking to you throughout the season, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Gross. I appreciate it, man.
All right, man. That is the Sun-Times Cubs reporter, Russell Dorsey. He is brand new. He is, man, I didn't even want to bring this up on the air. He is 25, and he's that competent. He is that good already, it seems like. Good writer, good talker, very insightful. And you know what? That works on the radio. So my guess is you will hear a lot from the new Sun-Times Cubs reporter, Russell Dorsey. Again, follow him on Twitter and congratulate him with at least a 2 or 3 sentence congratulations, and demand that he gets back to you and tell him Mark Grody sent you. He is at Russ_Dorsey1. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Grody Sports. Coming up, we're going to talk to Arthur Arkish about the Chicago Bears. That's in about 40 minutes from now, 2 o'clock. A couple of text messages from the 815. Hap, can't hold the candle to Schwarber in left field. Oh, I don't know about that. I'm not saying Ian Happ is a great outfielder, but let's not get carried away with Schwarber. Schwarber got better as an outfielder. He's still not a great outfielder, okay? 630, dude signed my baseball card. Oh, this is from, so I was going back and forth with a texter on this, and I hope you're still listening from the 630. Either this is something that I just didn't know all these years, or this texture is totally and completely wrong, and maybe even just playing with me. I don't know. But I was talking about Robin Yount earlier because he was part of that All-Star squad in 1983, and he says that it's pronounced Y-U-N-T, Yount, Robin Yount. I've never heard that ever. So I don't know. Maybe it's like a song lyric where I always thought it was something else, but I was totally and completely wrong. I've got that down as Robert Yount until there is some sort of majority that tells me I have mispronounced the Hall of Famer, Robin Yount. If we can get some backup on that particular issue, I would certainly appreciate it. Here's what I love. I've been saying this since before there was a 60 game deal with baseball. There is, while none of this is ideal, and I know most of you prefer a nice 162 game schedule, the 60 game schedule, just like I said, there is no argument anymore for a 60 game schedule over whether or not the manager means something. Now the manager, this is the most meaningful a sports manager or coach has really ever been now, because of the 60 games and all the wheeling and dealing that teams are going to have to do, and deciding how long a starter should go, and when you bring in somebody from the bullpen, and can a bullpen guy go 3 innings as opposed to his usual 1 inning, and you know, do you have a first guy out there starting? There's so many different questions, and the National League with the DH, which probably makes their life easier. It is going to be fun to watch how managers manage their teams, and there is not necessarily any logical way to figure out who is going to be better at it than others. I mean, there are managers that you would suspect, like just the good managers, you would think that would be better at this, but it is unprecedented, so it's going to be really different. So, you know, when I ask people like Russ Dorsey or any of our Cubs experts about David Ross. There is no answer to the question. It is purely opinion and purely surmising based on what we know about David Ross and what he has said. We don't know. We don't know. Maybe David Ross is great at managing a baseball team in a 60-game season with guys, pitchers that aren't necessarily stretched out. But we have no idea. That's part of the fun of it. That's part of the urgency of it. That's why baseball is going to be more than ever day-to-day, and every single game is going to be worthy of breaking it down, which is why it's going to be really fun for us on the Score. And the post games are going to be more interesting than ever with Zach and then whomever is hosting after Zach, usually Parkins and McNeil or Joel Ostrowski at night. These are going to be some really fun post games, and because we can actually take what they did completely seriously without saying small sample size and it's a 162-game schedule. All that goes out the window when a reliever comes in and blows a game in the seventh or eighth inning. We could take it seriously and actually get mad and not have to fall back on this is you know, there's a long way to go. There is, it is not. Yeah, so from the 864, thank you, Robin Yount. If you're wrong, I am too, LOL. So I don't know. I think I'm getting some bad information on that. It's been Robin Yount, you know. I don't know. There's some guys that have their names mispronounced by everybody, and then they're just like, the hell with it. I'm going to allow this name to be mispronounced for the rest of my life just because of what everybody says. And at this point, it would be kind of embarrassing to change it back. So I'm just going to stick with Robin Yount on this one. I want to talk about Tyler Chatwood when we return, because that was a name that Russ Dorsey brought up in the bottom of the Cubs pitching rotation, and what Tyler Chatwood was last year in relation to what he was 2 years ago in 2018. We need to examine Tyler Chatwood and what we might be able to expect from him this year and going forward with the Cubs. This is Mark Grody, back in a couple minutes here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I thought his cutter was as good as I've seen it. His cutter was really sharp and late. I think he found his curveball a little bit later in the game, threw a couple good ones. It's a right-on-right changeup. I don't know if that was the Pence, I think, as I try to replay that back in my head. But he looked sharp. For me, you can always tell early on, got that first two-seamer right down the middle and an easy rollover ground ball to second base. That's when you know he's pounding the zone and the ball's got great movement. So Tyler's continued to pitch well and right on track to start the season as a fifth starter.
Yeah, it's still weird for me to hear David Ross speaking as the Chicago Cubs manager, considering the breadth of the work of Joe Maddon and what they did under him and how fast that ultimately went and how successful it was. And then all of a sudden, here we are on the 5th of July in a strange, strange year, 2020. And there's your new manager for the Chicago Cubs after all of that. Here we are with David Ross as the new manager of the Chicago Cubs. And in that particular instance, he was speaking about Tyler Chatwood, about whom we will speak here momentarily. Because I touched on this Friday that in a shortened baseball season, it is the teams that have the studs at the top of the starting rotation that are going to win. When it gets right down to the nitty-gritty of a baseball season, short playoff series, it is about pitching. Every pitch counts. It's the way it'll be in a shortened season. It's a different urgency. I think, you know, think teams like Washington with Scherzer, Strasburg, and Patrick Corbin, or the Yankees with Gerrit Cole and Luis Severino and Tanaka. Tampa Bay, Blake Snell, Charlie Morton, Tyler Glasnow. The Mets have like every veteran pitcher. They've got Stroman and Porcello and DeGrom, and even Michael Wacha is even on the Mets this year. They're, I don't know. I've got this weird fixation on the Mets this year with that pitching staff, like with a bunch of guys that, yeah, they're getting older, but they've all accomplished a ton. And then a really good core of young position players. There's something about those damn Mets that I really like. The Cubs and Sox don't really have those slam dunk guys at the top. Maybe Yu Darvish and Kyle Hendricks, as I was just talking about with Russ Dorsey, but maybe not. Maybe Lucas Giolito and Dallas Keuchel for the Sox. However, they're COVID-19, maybe more guys that end up on the injured list or the sick list, however you want to characterize that. So it's all hands on deck. How good are your fourth and fifth starters? That matters too. Usually while it always matters who's in your starting rotation, it is difficult to have really good, really productive fourth and fifth starters just because of finances and economics. Considering what you got to pay a 1 and a 2 in Major League Baseball this year, God bless you if you can put together a strong 1 through 5 in this day and age, which you can do if you're the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Mets. Jesus. This is why the Jose Quintana injury stings for the Cubs more than it normally would have. Quintana has not been great for the Cubs, but he is, and this is like being a quarterback manager, he is an innings eater, a dependable starter, or had been. And that brings me to this. It is expected, as we were just talking about, that Tyler Chatwood will be a regular part of the starting rotation for the Cubs this season. He pitched in 38 games last year for the Cubs. I'm just looking at it here, just 5 starts. But he was good. And again, I will look at strikeout to walk ratio. 76 2/3 innings last year for Chatty, if I may. He struck out 74. He walked 37. But I think it is okay for me to want to still figure out what happened in 2018, because it is still important now. Can he do this when he knows he has to be a starter under the microscope of playing for a Chicago baseball team in the Chicago Cubs? His first year with the Cubs, 2018, Chatwood had 20 starts, 95 walks. I went through his game logs. In that 2018 season, I counted 9 games where he had 5 walks or more. 9 out of his 20 starts, he walked 5 or more guys. 2 games, and I need to go back to these games, but he had 2 games where he walked 7 in 2018. And you know those were games where Joe Madden was like, dude, I just need you to stay out there for a few more pitches. Like, you can't leave a guy out there when he's walked 5 guys. But I think those were probably instances where the bullpen was taxed and it was Madden just going, please, give me 5 more batters and then I will get you the hell out of there. The year before he came to the Cubs, he walked 77 with Colorado. So he's always walked guys, but not at the rate that he did, obviously, with the Cubs. So what happened? How can you be sure that this doesn't happen again when he is named a starter? He came to the Cubs on it was his first, and it wasn't huge money, but it was his first big money deal, 3 years and $38 million, though. So a semi-big deal, and I'm just trying to think of what might have gotten in his head, because it didn't appear that it was arm-related, injury-related, something we didn't know, physical. It did feel like that he was in his own head, that playing in the fishbowl of Wrigley crazy place to play. Not everybody is suited for it. Something got in his head because he didn't just miss. He missed badly. Like, remember Wilson Contreras and some of the reactions that he had to some of the pitches, some of the balls that were bounced in front of him and that went over his head? Just Wilson Contreras just jumping all over the place. It did appear to be 100% mental, unless there was something that we didn't know. He lost to his brain in 2018. I bring it up because I hope it's solved. I hope that whatever it was, it was solved. And last year, the Cubs did a smart, they managed him really well. They put him in a position to win. They didn't just throw him in there. They were calculated with what he did, with where they put him. And he did. He won last year. Tyler Chatwood was really good for the Cubs last year, no matter where they used him. Most of the time, he was good. Now they need him to do his $12 million worth this year as a starter. And I think this is his last year with the Cubs. I don't know if there's an option year, a team option. Cubs like team options. But I believe this would be his last year. So that helps the cause for the Cubs, because usually it is human nature for guys in the final year of their contracts to play better, which we all would when you're playing for money. So, yeah, I mean, I just think I hope that last year was the cure for Chatwood and he goes back to giving you production and he doesn't have to be the guy on whom you depend to be great in that rotation, but he definitely has to be a sturdy starter for you with Jose Quintana out. And then some combination of Alec Mills, the intriguing Adbert Alzolay, and who am I missing here? Colin Ray. God, I always say Robbie Ray. Colin Ray. Few text messages. 312-644-6767. 815. I've been living in Milwaukee for the past 6 years, and I've never heard anything besides yawn. Thank you. 815. Hey, Grody, you're the best DH at the Score. Love your loan shows. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I've enjoyed doing the solo shows. It is definitely a different beast when you are talking solo, but I have enjoyed it and I've loved the interaction with you guys. At 312-644-6767 is the number. Most of you guys are coming on my side with Robin Yount. Somebody told me it was a different pronunciation and I was like, is this like when you think you have the lyrics to a song right and then you find out later in life that you were completely wrong about it? I'm like, did I dramatic music went through my head. I'm like, have I been mispronouncing Robin Yount's name all these years? Nobody told me anything. What the hell's going on here? Couple things too from the Cubs yesterday. They did have an intra-squad game, and let's see, Yu Darvish, speaking of you, 2+ innings. He wait a minute. Darvish allowed a double to Javier Baez, struck out 4, again in 2+ innings. So he's got the stuff. Kyle Hendricks, 5 hits allowed over 3 innings of play. So yeah, that's got to get better. But all right, I won't do it. I'm not going to take intra-squad ball seriously. Look, I know I've said that we have to take so much seriously this year. Once the games start, we will. But I'm going to try not to take what I just read to you totally and completely seriously, because that would be bad to do. Apparently, David Ross is attempting to get as many bells and whistles going out at Wrigley Field in terms of the walk-up music and playing music. I guess they've been blasting 80s music, like 80s rock out there. I just find it interesting that it's, at least, even with Joe Maddon, when I covered spring training for the Cubs, Joe Maddon, it was always Joe Madden's music going on. And then I guess when Joe Maddon looked the other way, maybe the Cubs players would turn the music something more to their liking. Was disappointed when Ross went to 4-letter. I assume you're talking about when he went to ESPN. More now because growing pains now instead of then. I'm not sure quite what the texture means by that. All right, 312-644-6767 is the number. I want to finish out this hour of Cubs talk after the break by talking about Anthony Rizzo and something that I'm thinking about as it pertains to Anthony Rizzo and his future with the Chicago Cubs. I'm Mark Grody, here with you until 3 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here's the 0-1. Rizzo drives one in the air. Deep right field. It's got a chance. Gone. Home run to right for Rizzo, and the Cubs lead 9-2.
The Izzo. Anthony Rizzo going yard right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Pat Hughes on the call. What's up? I'm Mark Grody here with you until 3 o'clock on The Score. Love interacting with you on the text line at 312-644-6767. We can do it on Twitter as well. I was just noticing a couple of comments on there as well as I refresh my screen. At Mark Grody Sports from Canuck Boy, he says, if/when the 2020 NFL season gets canceled, how does that impact the Bears for 2021? Well, if that was to happen, I don't think that's going to happen, Canuck Boy. And the NFL has done nothing to even remotely suggest that there wouldn't be a regular season. They're definitely making preparations to modify things. They have modified with the preseason. They have modified with OTAs. And I assume they will modify with training camp as well, but I think that is all in the name of having a regular season. But if there is not a season, that is a hell of a question, because there would be so many things. Like, you'd have to go and look at all the guys that they signed this year on one-year low-impact deals, and guys that will have lost a year. It'll suck. Like, honestly, like, if they don't play, the number one effect that this would have on the Bears is losing a year of that defense, and everybody getting a year older on that defense. Then you bring back Akeem Hicks at 31, and Khalil Mack is going on 30. So, and not that that's going to bring them down, but you know what I mean. It's the NFL, and Danny Trevathan's going to be a year older, and you lose another year of Roquan Smith, so Eddie Jackson and Kyle Fuller. So it would, the number one thing that pops to my mind, if there isn't an NFL season, it is about a wasted year of the Bears defense. Hey, same thing with last year. That was a wasted year of a terrific Bears defense. We'll get more into the Bears talk with Arthur Arkish coming up at 2 o'clock. Right now, let's talk about Rizzo. It was on May 12, 2013, when Anthony Rizzo signed that seven-year, $41 million deal. Man, that was when player-friendly deals were made. The team has already, I think they've already picked up the option for 2020, team option for 2021 as well. Rizzo is not getting cheated, making $16.5 million, though obviously he's worth more. But he signed that deal. So the Cubs are getting close on Rizzo. Could become an unrestricted free agent after 2021, or the Cubs could work out an extension. It's got to be on Rizzo's mind right now, and I know that, like, this, he doesn't necessarily have to be asked about it right now. This is just me, but it's human nature. It's got it, and Rizzo understands the business, but he seems like the type of guy who would want to be a Cub for life. And I think the Cubs should try to tack on two or three more years for Rizzo soon. Do it now. I do think his game is going to age well, because it already has. He's a good hitter, period. He's a good fielder, period. He's not fast, and that's never been part of his game. Speed, quickness, agility, base run. I mean, actually a good base runner. He just chugs, man. So he's never been dependent upon being a quote-unquote classic athlete. So I always look at that as, like, players that will age well because he's got everything else, because it already has aged well. I do in this case, just because I saw Rizzo and was with the Cubs for 3 years, I saw the leadership aspect of it. I saw how it manifested itself. He is the face of the team. And he's and lastly, and this can be way down on your list, but he's good. He is good for public relations and all of that, and the connection to the 2016 Cubs and all of this. So here we are with Rizzo. He's done the thing. He lost weight, which I think in part is because of his back. Every year, you know this if you're a Cubs fan. Every year Rizzo misses 2-3 games because of his back, maybe more than that, where his back just does him dirty. But it's also a smart thing to do when a guy starts to get a little bit older. Rizzo ain't old. A lot of good baseball. He's, you know, turning 30, is 30. So it's smart to do things that for appearance sake, kind of suggest, yeah, I'm still here, and I'm still, like, look at me. I'm in shape. It's good for appearances. Let's hear what Anthony Rizzo has to say about his weight loss.
I looked myself in the mirror when I got home with Emily, and I go, I'm either going to gain 50 pounds or I'm going to get back into amazing shape. I was in really good shape coming in the spring, and just, you know, me and Coach Napoli were basically quarantine buddies the entire time, and we just held each other accountable every day, 6 days a week. We were going to get after it. We had our good routine, and I mean, I think it's paid off. I feel really good for this year and for this sprint.
Good, good. And yeah, I don't think like he's the type of guy who is dependent on having the extra weight to hit the ball out of the park. He's just he knows how to hit the ball out of the park, period. Also on Rizzo, while we're at it, let's do a little bit more Rizzo tape here. Here's what Rizzo thinks about the 60-game schedule.
With the emotions that in this game come, there's going to be slip-ups. There's going to be emotions that come into this game where, you know, it's a 60-game sprint. This is really exciting. We pull this off, which we're very capable of doing as an organization and as a league. It's an exciting time, and this could be very exciting for the game. With, you know, the Orioles last year, Hyder's team got off to an amazing start. You let a team get off to a 10-2, 10-3 start that's supposed to be in the cellar this year. That's hope. And you obviously take it day by day, but I think it's going to be exciting.
I'm not down necessarily with the randomness like everybody else is to where, and you know, like it's true. I can't fight it when people say that, yeah, any team could win and the Baltimore Orioles could end up going to the World Series and all of that. I still think that the best teams with the best starting elite pitching are going to win games this year, are going to be there. I don't think there's going to be anything ridiculous come the end. I get it. I understand when people say that. I think it's a little overdone, though. I still think the most talented teams, the best teams, will end up being there. But you do have to account for COVID-19 and then the natural injuries of a season. But I do think they ought to get something done with Rizzo. I think things are exactly the same as where they were with Chris Bryant, that even though the weird offseason kept Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer from trading Chris Bryant, that doesn't mean that it won't still happen by the, what, August 20th trade deadline this year. It still could happen. I'm sure that things have not changed in that trajectory. We keep hearing glimpses or windows into a possible extension for Baez. Who knows about Schwarber? A lot of that's going to depend on what he does this year. Happen on more. You don't have to worry about those guys, nor Hayward. There's so many questions with the pitching staff after this year with Chatwood and then the last year of his deal. Same with Quintana. Lester getting older. So there are a lot of big questions, and that rolling rebuild that seems like a logical thing for the Cubs, just because of not just finances and a core that hasn't lived up to what we thought it was going to be in 2016. And so there's a lot of things, but I do think they ought to get something done with Rizzo. Last thing on Rizzo, and this is the last time I want to hear about negotiations, but I do want to hear what Rizzo had to say about the negotiations that got us to the 60-game schedule.
The biggest thing is the negotiation. I think it's just flat out embarrassing for me to be searching through Twitter and seeing the updates, because that's how fast they got out there. There's leaks on a lot of leaks on the major league side. It seems like there was leaks whenever we sent in a proposal, to the point where it was just kind of turned into a joke with the media battle. And with such a strong game and such a rich history, I would hope to see in the future that we can keep things internal, because I just think that when we're going through a pandemic like this and you have the billionaires fighting with the millionaires is not a good look. But when it's all said and done and baseball's on the field and we play with our emotion like we know how to do, you know, that's how we're going to capture a new fan base through this tough time.
Slim Rizzo right there talking via Zoom. So there's Anthony Rizzo. Give that man an extension. From the 513, Grody, the Steelers used to have a cornerback named Mel Blunt, but it was pronounced like it rhymed with grunt, right? Yeah, it looks like Blount, sounds like grunt, blunt. And this is in association with Robin Yount, who somebody insisted to me was pronounced Yunt. But I, you know, look, I'm checking it here, and I'm sorry, I don't see it. 864, awesome stuff with Rizzo. Thank you. It's always good with Rizzo. From the 312, if there is no NFL, my golf game will get better. So if you play golf in the cold weather, yeah. I don't control. Oh, somebody's mad at something I can't talk about on the radio. All right, we need to take a break anyway, because we need to make space to talk about the Chicago Bears. We are going to do that next with Arthur Arkush, Shaw Media's Bears insider and editor. Arthur will join us next to talk Bears. I'm Mark Grody, here until 3 with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.